we're just going to speak on Jesus. What a surprise. But I think this is going to help us. I think it'll be a word that speaks to young and old. And we're going to look at the both ends of how we look at Jesus so we can get a full picture. Because this year we're talking about going deeper, right? And sometimes we feel like we know what there is to know about him, but there's deeper places that God wants to take us. But I've really been looking forward to coming because I've been praying for the church and praying for what God wanted to say. And he gave me a really clear picture and a really clear scripture, or a couple actually. And I don't know what it's like here, but in Adelaide, it's been dry. And just there has not been any rain since well into last year. And I just was praying. I was driving around just praying for the church. And God showed me this picture of an almighty rain just coming down upon this church and upon you. I felt this fresh wind just come. And then there was this almighty rain, this fresh outpouring that God wants to give into the church and into your life in this new season. And all of a sudden I saw this dry space where all of a sudden these rivers started beginning to flow. And it was where there was the refilling of old rivers, but the forming of brand new rivers. And suddenly there was new life that suddenly came forward. And I felt this scripture for you today. Don't say 4 months to harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for harvest now. Amen. Everyone say now. That there is a harvest season that God's leading the church into right here. And I believe there is going to be with it, in this next season, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the dry places of your life where you've been waiting for promises, where you've been waiting for breakthrough, where you've been waiting for answers to prayer. And maybe we've got a little bit logical, a little bit practical, a little bit reflective, maybe thinking maybe they were just for days gone by. God's saying, no, there is a harvest season right now that he wants to lead you and lead the church into. Just lift your head, look to the fields. He's about to do a new thing. Amen. And I felt this, right? Because sometimes you just hear the word of God, and when you hear a certain scripture that take that logos, it becomes rhema, it becomes alive in you. And I just want to preach today. And I was actually thinking of preaching in a different direction all the way to this morning. I was going actually somewhere else, and I just could not get this verse out of my spirit. So I thought, Pastor Sean, I'm just going to preach it today. And it's a scripture I'm sure you've heard of before, but I pray that it just comes alive in you. Come on, are you ready today for the word? I just pray it comes alive today in your spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And it's this from Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Behold, read this with me. I am doing a new thing. Say it again. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, everyone say now. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness, and here it is in rivers in the desert. Come on, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your word. I pray today that you would speak to every single one of us anew and afresh, that this would come alive, that there would be a fresh understanding of the new thing that you want to do in us. We believe in it. We hold on for it. We hear it today, and we receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you're believing for a promise from God, lift your hands today. Come on, if you're waiting on something from God, if you know he's promised to do his new or his more, just one more time. If you're believing it's for you, lift your hand. Believe that today. Believe this is a season God's going to start to do some things you've been waiting on. About a year ago, just over, my wife and I got beautiful wife, Shana, and two boys, Jackson, Jordan. Jackson's 14, Jordy's 10. He'd want you to know he's nearly 11. We were in a house, and I really felt God say it was time to move into a new house. And we loved the house we're in, but I felt God say there's a new thing, a new day, a new thing. So I talked to my wife and said, I really feel God saying it's time to move house. And I'm a little ADD and a little bit distracted, a little bit like, you know, I just got to do different things all the time. My wife's the stable one in our family. If anyone's got a stable partner, thank God for them, right? And I said to Shans, I feel God saying to move. And as I said it, she felt a real stir of faith and said, well, let's go. I'm like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And normally go the opposite direction. So she's like, let's move. So within a number of months, we prepared our house, got ready to sell our house. We put our house on the market. On a day we both flew off to the United States to be with our churches over in Atlanta. And the day we came back from the US, we had our first inspection. We had three inspections, and then we sold our house for a record price in the area we were in. And then we suddenly realized, we did the first part, we sold our house, but we have no clue where we're going to live. And at that point, I was in trouble. We both did this together, but it was my fault. And there, we said, all right, we're going to go look for a place to live. So we started going to inspections and we started going to auctions. And we went to place after place and could not get a place. We went to auctions that literally on the first bid, they said the number and we were out and it was over. And eventually after going from place to place, one of the agents came to my wife and said, what are you after? And because I've seen you so many times and you've never got the house that you were looking for. And my wife was specific. She was like, I want this type of house. I want this kind of home. I want it to be near an oval for my boys because my boys love to run and play sport and ride their bikes. I'd love this, this, and this for a dog we don't love, but we want space for the dog. She named all the things that she wanted. And the agent went, no wonder you can't get the house you want for the price you can afford. So, but a week or so later, he rang us and we were in Perth and he said, I've got a house. It's someone that wants to do a private opening and have asked me just to bring five people through the house because they don't want to do it up. They don't want to fix it up. They just want people to walk through. Well, we're in Perth. So we rang my mother-in-law who lived around the corner from this house. That's right. I live in the same neighborhood as my mother-in-law. It's the best. It's the best. And I rang and said, Elizabeth, could you go have a look at this house? And I tell her where the house is and the open came and she goes to the front of this house and she's like, this is your house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, I've been walking the dog because she lives in the same neighborhood. And I saw that house and they had no sale sign or anything. She said, God, give Josh and Shans a house just like that one. She's like, this is your house. And I'm like, don't sign anything, Elizabeth. And she walks through the house and she sent us videos and we loved it. We never got to see it. So we put an offer on the house and the house, we never got it because we just couldn't afford the house that we wanted. So then it was the day before Christmas and we put another offer on the house and we upped it just a little bit to what we could afford. And 2 days later, they rejected it. What's now New Year's Eve? You follow. And I was at the gym and my wife rang me and said, Josh, I'm going to send the owners a letter. And I'm like, a letter? She's like, I'm going to send them a letter. I just know this is our house. I believe God's given us this house. And I'm like, but what are you going to do with a letter? Who reads a letter? She's like, I'm just going to write a letter. So she wrote this beautiful letter. Manipulative, but beautiful, right? And she's like, we've got these kids and we've got this dog and we want to make your house a home and we're local pastors in the area and all these things, God bless. And she sent me the letter and I sent it to the agent and said to the agent, would you just give these guys the letter? And he's like, a letter? And I'm like, just go with it. Just send the letter. So we sent the letter and thought, let's go to the beach. So we're on the way to the beach and we drove past the house, but we just had an expectation that God was going to do a new thing in our life, right? So we walked out the front of the house and the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1, wherever you set your foot, I'll give you. So we walked on that property, we trespassed and we walked on that place, claimed it in the blood of the Lamb, got in the car and drove out of there. Well, an hour later, we get a call from the agent and he says, you're not going to believe this, is they read your letter, they've accepted your house at the price and the house is yours. You see, sometimes, yeah, come on, how good is God? Where we're living right now. Shana's mum's around all the time. The best. But sometimes you got to just get an expectation that what God's promised for your life is going to come to pass. Amen? The Bible says faith without works is dead. What's the difference between faith and works? I believe what's in the gap is expectation. A lot of people have faith that God can, but not a lot of people have an expectation that God will for them that causes them to keep on looking and keep on believing until you get your miracle. Come on, who believes God's going to do something fresh in your life. There's a fresh outpouring. There's a new rain. There's a new day. God wants to do something new for you. Amen? So he says, behold. Everyone say, behold. That word behold means to stand in awe. It means to look ahead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the thing you have. So often we're basing our faith on what we've seen or what's been. But just like my glasses, I could use them for reflection, but they're not very good in that way. They're made to be able to see what's ahead of me. God gives you faith not just to talk about the reality that you live in, but to get a holy expectation that says, God's going to do something that I haven't seen before. And I genuinely believe this. Sometimes the barrier from walking into a new encounter with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we've been filled before. I mean, me and John were talking. I like John. He's a good guy. John and Michelle, you two are awesome. And would come on. Yeah, we were talking about back in 1999 where Planet Shakers was held in our church. That's where it started, you know, back at Paradise back in the day. And we're talking about the God moves that happened back in the day. And sometimes the problem is we're more talking about what God's done than what is going to happen in the days ahead, when God wants you to not be looking always at what was, but to get a ready expectation for the new thing that he's going to do. When Isaiah says, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past, it wasn't because the previous days were bad. He's talking about the greatest miracle Israel's ever seen, when the Lord parted the Red Sea and they walked into new territory. He's not saying forget the former things because they were a problem. He's saying you thought what was good before was good. You have no idea what I'm going to do, because God takes what was previously incredible and now does it even greater in a supernatural way to show you that he's a God of exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask, think, or imagine. Amen? John 15, he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will have fruit, you will have more fruit, you will have much fruit, and you will have a lasting fruit. I feel for both of you too. God just wants you to know you've seen such fruit in your life, but he's not just a God of fruit or more fruit. You've seen much fruit, but there's lasting fruit. I feel for your ministry, there's going to be now the Elishas and the legacy people that follow after you, that's going to continue carrying to see that lasting fruit. What you've seen, what God's done for you, is about to increase exponentially. I believe it in Jesus' name. Because God doesn't want us just to look backwards or just stay where we are. He wants to do the new thing. Amen? When we moved into the house, Sean said, Josh, I want to get some new cushions. I want a new rug. And I want a new throw. Do you know what a throw is? A throw is like a blanket, but it's not a blanket. It's much more expensive than a blanket. And the thing is, you're not even allowed to use it as a blanket. And what happens is, you place it very deliberately on the couch to look like you didn't place it there. And when someone comes in, they're like, oh, nice blanket. And you're like, I just threw it there, but you didn't. And I'm like, Shans, what? We've got a rug. We've got cushions. We've got a throw. I haven't been able to use it once. And she's like, do you not understand? Do you not perceive it? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Because I'm not bringing the old thing into the new season. I'm not carrying the old stuff into the new house. And she's right, because she wants to do something new in a new day. And sometimes we do this with God, is we believe God's going to do something new, but we're expecting him to do it how he did it in the days gone by. We're hungry for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but we want it to look like what we experienced in the camps and the conferences that we went to previously. We're believing God's going to do something fresh in our family, but we keep reminding him of what he did yesterday, when God wants to do the new thing in the new way. Amen? I mean, this is Moses in the desert. When they need water, when they need that river, when they need that fresh life, the first time God says to Moses, I want you to strike the rock. So the second time they needed the fresh flow, he said, you need to speak to the rock. But the problem was, Moses wanted the new thing in the old way. So therefore, even though God comes through, he never steps into his promised land. You see, God doesn't just want to provide for you, meet your need, heal you and restore you. He wants to create such an intimate and personal encounter where you go deeper with him, that it's not just that God does good things, but that you know he's a good God. Amen? So whatever's behind me doesn't have to be what's before me. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Read it with me. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? John, come here for a second. See, the Lord says, do you not perceive it? That word, I haven't told him about this. This word perceive, it means, do you open yourself to it? What this actually is, this word perceive, it means, are you willing to embrace it? When you look at the proper word is this is the way a husband gives himself to a wife.
Wow.
You see, sometimes when we've been given a promise from God, you know when you meet someone for the first time, you side hug them. It's a safe embrace. It's like, this is how John and I first embraced. G'day, mate.
Yesterday.
This is safe. We met each other yesterday.
I met him yesterday.
We're going to get close really quick, all right? And this is what some of us are doing with the promises of God. When there's an altar call, we'll take a step forward, go to here. There's a promise from God, we'll see. I hope so. There's a call of God, it's like, I'll watch. I'll play it safe. And we side hug the promises of God. And he says, I want to do a new thing now. Everyone say now. Now it springs forth, will you not perceive it? What he's saying is he wants you to grab a hold of the promise of God, like you grab, like a husband, oh, you smell so good, like a husband grabs a hold of the wife. He's saying, get off, it's weird. He's saying, I want you to grab a hold of what I'm doing in the new day. Where are you going, John? Now you can go. Let me give you a different example. I was in, sit down, man. Yes, I was in Bali last year. And we went with the family and some friends and we had the kids and it was awesome. Does anyone love Bali here? One, fantastic. I think Bali's so relaxing. And we had one night without the kids. We left him with a responsible 18-year-old. He probably wasn't responsible. We just were desperate to not have our children near us for a minute. And so we went out for one dinner. And we got to this dinner. And it was Ramadan festival, so Bali was flat out busy, and we were just one place, and we ordered entree, and we got a call from my youngest son. And he said, Dad, Jackson, my oldest, he's vomiting, he's sick. See, earlier that day, we went to Waterbomb Park, and he drank too much water from the slides and got a bit of Bali belly. And we're like, all right, it's okay, one meal, Max, the 18-year-old, sort of, but 18-year-old, he'll look after him. So we talked to Max. Max, we need you to look after Jackson. Take care of him. Towel on the head, bucket, all the rest. Cool, we're just going to have dinner. Mains arrive. My youngest son rings me. Dad, Max is vomiting too. We're like, of course he is. All right, so... Well, like, cancel the meal, like, we get in the car and we get in what's called a Bluebird. It's their taxi, you know, but the problem is it's Ramadan festival, so the roads are packed. And so I'm like, Shana, I'm going to grab a motorbike. And you got to understand, like, Pastor Sean, I'm not a man's man. Like, you know, you meet some guys and they've got oil on their hands. I've got Nivea for men. And so Shana's like, you're not getting a motorbike. I'm like, I'm gonna get the back of a motorbike and go for this ride. And she's like, you've never been on one before. I'm like, I've got to get to our boy. We're going to be hours. So this motorbike comes and I order this grab online. This stranger comes with a helmet. It's filthy. And I've never ridden with another guy before on a motorbike. And I don't know what to do with my hands. And do I grab a hold of this stranger or do I hold the back of the motorbike? And being an Australian man, I grabbed the back of the motorbike. And so we were going through the back streets of Denpasar, and it's a bit crazy and it's a bit hectic. But all of a sudden we hit the freeway. And if you've not been to Bali, this freeway, it has four lanes, but that means 68 lanes because there are no rules. You guys get it, right? There's no rules. There are cars and buses and more motorbikes. Like, it's like the Earth's population of motorbikes are right there on this highway in Bali. And there's trouble to the left of me and there's trouble to the right of me. And we head onto this freeway. And I realize something. I don't want to die. And there's just no rules. There's cars everywhere. So I have to make a decision. Do I just safely side hug and hold on to this thing? Or do I grab a hold of the one that's in control? And because I have a lot to live for, I tucked on into that guy right there and I grabbed onto him. And let me tell you, I said, I need you to go fast. And he's like, how fast? And I'm like, pretty fast. And so he started booking. And I say, we going in between cars and in between buses, and all of a sudden I started to like it. And so now I'm saying to him, there's a gap between that truck and that bus, take it. There's no one on the medium strip. He's literally going up on the medium strip. I'm tucking right in and I'm like, go faster. We eventually get to our hotel and I tell him to go for another lap. I'm not worried about my son anymore. I'm just loving tucking on in and going for a ride. He eventually takes me back to the hotel. Did I give him a tip? Yes. Did I give him eye contact? No. But let me tell you, I just had to grab a hold of the one that was in control. See, sometimes we're nervous and sometimes we're worried about what the promises of God look like. And it feels like if I go on this journey of trusting God, I've experienced trouble before and I look ahead and there's trouble to the left of me and trouble to the right of me, and I'm just going to play it safe right here. I'm going to remain where I am. I'm going to live in what I know. And if it comes along, God, it's going to come along. He's saying, no, the requirement to receive the new thing is that you fully have to give yourself to the promises, to the outpouring, to the new thing that God wants to do. And the promise is, you might be nervous now, but the journey of faith, there is nothing like it. You'll love it. Amen. See, the enemy just wants to keep you safe, but it's the steps of a righteous man that are ordered by the Lord, not the stops. It's the one that walks by faith. It's the one that goes according to his word. And the Lord is saying, I'm about to do a new thing. The question is, will you perceive it? Will you embrace it? Come on, who's believing for a promise from God? Are you waiting or are you believing? Are you watching or are you stepping? Are you just saying, we'll see, or are you declaring, let it be the declaration of your mouth, that that's what God's going to do in my life? Amen? Let me bring this together with our deeper thing. Because it's actually here we get confused. Because forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. Behold, I do a new thing now. Everyone say now. See, the problem is we often struggle with the promises of God or the fullness of what he wants to pour into our life. I believe with all of my heart he's already started, but there is a fresh rain about to be poured out on this church. There's a new thing that he wants to do through us, and it's not the time to stay safe. It's not the time to stay where we are. It's the time to believe that, God, we want all that your Holy Spirit has for us. It's a day of miracles. It's a day of wonders. It's a day of breakthrough. It's a day of stories. But the problem is sometimes we look and we don't see it now. Because it says now it springs forth. But this is where the deeper things, the deeper places come into play. See, the word spring, everyone say spring. When you look at the Hebrew, it's actually the word sprouts. So when you understand what this word is saying, is that God's going to do a new thing right now. We think we should see it right now, but what it means, it's actually birthed in the deeper places that you can't see yet. Is that when something is sprouting, it's alive, it's on the inside, it's down in the earth, but you just can't see the fullness of its fruit yet. It's like a mother that's expecting. That baby is alive on the inside of her. She hasn't received the miracle yet, but that doesn't mean that that baby's not birthed. That baby's, just because the baby's not born doesn't mean the baby's not alive, amen? Just because the baby's not in her arms doesn't mean the baby's not in her spirit, amen? I mean, she names that child. She talks to that child. She imagines about that child. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that God hasn't already provided it and doesn't mean that God hasn't already given it. But this is the walk of faith, that the promises of God are rarely found on the surface. The promises of God are found in the deeper places. See, this is why when we begin to push into those deeper places, why we end up with a river, because when you dig a well, it flows. When you begin to search for those things that won't be burnt up, like the hay and the straw, but rather the gold and the silver, they're only found there in the deeper places. The miracle you're believing for, the call of God that still remains on your life, the breakthrough that He has for you, just because you don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there now. Everyone say now. He says now it springs forth. It means now it's sprouting, now it's coming, now it's growing, now it's developing, but it's seen. We live by faith and not by sight. It's not by what I see in the natural, but it's what I first receive in the deeper places of supernatural faith. Amen. I mean, this is the story of the bread and the fish that weren't enough. On the surface, it wasn't enough, but the miracle was first found in the deeper places. You see, this is what the water was that was going to turn into wine through the faith of pouring in the deeper places that where it was not seen yet. In the activation of faith, the water becomes wine. You see, you may be in the sprouting of a healing, but it's been paid in full, so now you receive it in faith. Amen? I loved coming in this morning. I don't know where Mikos is, and I love her. And just giving her a hug on the door, and I haven't seen her in 2 years. So I just kind of leaned in and said, "What's happening?" And she was able to tell me that she's cancer-free for 18 months in Jesus' name. Come on, how good is God? It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. But this is the thing. When I saw her a couple of years ago, I tell you, that was alive inside of her spirit, that she was here, she was wearing a mask, she was cautious, but she wasn't cautious in her spirit. There was something on the inside of her that said, I'm getting my miracle. It's already provided. He's Jehovah, my healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the one that does it already, that by His stripes I am healed. She hadn't seen it. She hadn't fully received it, but she knew that it was hers. Amen. See, you might be here waiting on a provision. You might be here waiting on a job. You may know there's a call of God on your life. You may be thirsty for a fresh outpouring. And just because you haven't seen the fullness of it doesn't mean that it's not sprouting, it's not growing, it's not coming, because God says now. Amen. It's just a step of expectation away. Come on, just the keys can come maybe. I love Proverbs 25 verse 2. It says, it's to the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter, the glory of kings. When my boys were little, they'd want something, a toy, chocolate. And I'd hide it behind my back. Not because I was cruel, but because I wanted them to chase me. And what would happen is it would turn into not just giving them what they wanted, but eventually I'd run and I'd hide, and I'd run into a bedroom and I'd hide in the wardrobe. And eventually they're looking because they want something that they've believed is theirs, but they haven't received it yet. The interesting thing is every time they'd open the wardrobe and I'd go, "Rah!" They wouldn't go for the chocolate. They'd run and grab Dad. Because eventually the chase became from what they wanted to what they needed. See, what happens is when God doesn't just reveal to you in the natural what you're believing for, but rather it is to the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to the glory of kings to search it out, is that you don't just get what you're believing for. In the journey of faith, you get Him and you get closer. And regardless of what's happened in your past or however you've arrived into the circumstances you are today, whether someone created them or you've created them, I want to say to you today, don't stay stuck there. But Philippians 3:13 says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. See, it takes some vulnerability to trust the Holy Spirit and let go of the safe things to grab a hold of the faith things. Whether it be a home or that relationship or that call of God that's on your life, or that step of faith, or that response to an altar call. If you hold on to history, you could miss out on destiny. And this invitation from the Holy Spirit to say, I'm about to pour out a new thing. And he promises the new thing, but the question is, will you perceive it? Will you see it in your spirit and grab a hold of what he wants to give to you in faith? Because he says, forgetting the former things, don't dwell on the past. Behold, I do a new thing. Now, everyone say now, it's sprouting, it's coming, it's growing. It's preparing. Now it sprouts. Now it springs forth. Will you not? Will you not perceive it? I'm making, here it is, ways in the wilderness. You thought there was a blockage? I'm making a way where there was no way. You thought there was no way through? I'm doing what I've never done before. Just because someone, a doctor, a real estate agent, a broker, a family member, a boss, a peer says, you can't get there. I promise you, his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So he's making a way in the wilderness. He's carving out a way for you. He's making rivers in the desert. Where before he made a way through a Red Sea, this time he makes a way in a wilderness. And he brings a river of refreshing, a fresh outpouring, as he wants to come in your life and do something new. There's a new chapter about to be written in your life. I believe that in Jesus' name. There's a new wind and a fresh outpouring. There's a revival rain that I believe is coming upon this church. Don't stay 4 months to harvest. Lift up your eyes. It's a faith thing. The fields are ripe with harvest right now, right now, right now, right now for you. Just gotta allow your thoughts, allow your spirit to come into alignment with his. Which is why Jeremiah 29:11, that famous verse, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. I believe in Jesus' name for your family, there are far better things in the days ahead than the days gone by. I believe for your life and your marriage, no matter what the diagnosis, no matter what you feel it is, there's better ahead because he's doing a new thing. Amen. There's revival rain about to be poured out. There's work for us to do. There's a perceiving we have to have. We have to engage. But behold, he's going to do a new thing. For that business that seems to be fluttering and failing, can't God turn it around? Can't God make a way where there is no way? But I've got to believe it. I've got to perceive it. I've got to see it in my spirit before I see it in the natural. It's sprouting. I believe for this church, there is such incredible things God's going to do. So I was praying for you in the weeks gone by. I just feel so much faith for supernatural harvest in Jesus' name. I believe it's growing. It's here. It's coming. Keep watching. It's coming. Keep believing. Keep watching. It's coming. Keep perceiving. It's coming. It's growing. It's sprouting. There's fruit. There's more fruit. There's much fruit. There's lasting fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you and we're just going to go back into worship. But before I do, there is no new thing like a new person. Not that you're new, but that God can do something new in you. The Bible says, behold, the old is gone and the new has come. That we can become a new creation in Christ. That if you're here today, the only way in the middle of difficulty and trauma and sickness and pain that we can have hope is that we have hope in the person of Jesus Christ. That as we've been talking today and worshiping today and hearing testimonies today, something's jumped in your spirit. That's God saying, this is for you. I love you. This is for you. There's a hope for you. That suddenly it's like a mother with a child. Suddenly you don't know what it looks like, but you know there's something alive on the inside of you today. That's the promise and the hope of Jesus Christ that's available for you right now.